Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy om to all you wonderful, beautiful people out there listening in and tuning in on this wonderful of nights. Thank you all for just being here. Another episode of Soul Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Michael Brazel. Tonight we have a very special show. Our first guest of this season is going to be joining us here in a few moments. And it's always nice to... I know you all like to get the break from just me talking. So it's nice to have someone else come on the air and share in that space of co-creation so that we can, you know, get the energy moving. And especially as we go into the new year, it's so important for us to ground and center and get connected in whatever way we can, because we don't have unlimited time to do that. So it's best that we make best use of the time that we have for the time that we have it. So tune in, listen to all the archive shows. If you're listening to this in the future on a download, thank you so much for sharing in this journey as well. It's always beautiful to see how many of these episodes get downloaded after the live broadcast. And to me, that's just phenomenal. We have, I think we're over 300 plus shows now. So it's you know, that's over 300 hours of information that's out there for you to tap into and tune into. We have such a variety of things we talk about on this show. So you can completely submerge yourselves into the waters of spirituality for many hours on just our show, and there's tons of other shows out there. So I'm leaving for Washington, D.C. tomorrow. So we won't be doing a broadcast until next week. So we'll be out for about a week just because it's hard for me to do a show when I'm on the road. So I'll be posting links if I can to some pertinent archive shows so that you can continue to tune in with us from our past episodes and see if you can, you know, ground into some new information that way. It's always nice to do that. And just our housekeeping, as always, if you do want to schedule a session with me or make a donation to help keep the show up and running, you can do so at my website, michaelbrazel.com. At the services page, at the bottom of the page, there's a donate button. Just click that button. Any little amount helps. It does cost money to do blog talk, meetups, and all these things that we do. you know, when you schedule a session with me, that money goes right back into doing things like the radio show. So it all helps out a bit. If you want to find me on Facebook, facebook.com/mbrazel. And that's B-R-A-Z-E-L-L. You can always email me at michael@michaelbrazel.com. I'm always available to connect. If you have questions, you have suggestions for topics for the show, suggestions for guests that you want to see featured here on Solar Empowerment Radio, reach out. I'm always open to discussing and getting new information out to everyone. So if there's someone out there that you're finding is just putting some good stuff out into the world, send them my way, and we can always bring them on the show and do an interview. This is a perfect platform for us to share and to collaborate and to grow with each other. It's not just a place for me to talk, you know, even though that's what it oftentimes becomes, which is completely fine. But it's nice when we can collaborate and share in each other's growth. So if there are people out there you want to see me have on, please send them my way, and I will gladly bring them onto the show. So as always, I like to start the show by saying the light affirmation, which was given to us by Consuela C. Newton back in 1986. It's just a really good way to start anything. I always start my day with this affirmation, and I think for me, it's my anchor into the day. It's nice to have something that you consistently arrive into. And for me, this affirmation has been an arriving point. And I just love it. And I'll do it throughout the day. Sometimes I'll do it as a mantra. I'll just repeat it as a mantra when I'm feeling the glums or I'm feeling the need to empower myself into my own light and divinity. If I, you know, feeling like I'm in a sketchy part of town or a sketchy part of my own life, I'll say this affirmation because it's just good for everything. It really is just good for everything. So we always say it three times through. And if you have access to the show notes, it's in the show notes, so you can say it out loud with me if you desire, or just sit back, tune into the breath, and just let the words move through you as they will. And here we go. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light protects me. I am the light. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light protects me. I am the light. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light protects me. I am the light. And so it is. And here we are. And here it all is. So I touched on the topic that we're going to be talking about tonight in an earlier episode. I think it was last week that I talked a little bit about forgiveness. But it's a topic that we could literally probably, we could do an entire year's worth of shows just on forgiveness because it is that important. And especially as we begin to enter into the holiday season, forgiveness is one of those topics that we know we want to embrace but may not know how to embrace it. And sometimes that's just because we don't really know what forgiveness is. So I've invited back on Susan Zumo, who is, as most of you know, my spiritual mom and my longtime friend and teacher. She's the one who helped to chime the singing bowl that is now my my journey. And I always love having her back on. And just a little bit about Susan. Susan is a highly motivated and qualified teacher of higher awareness. She is a nationally certified teacher of the Perceptive Awareness Technique and Soma Pi Healing, an integrated awareness graduate and intuitive performance coach. With over 25 years experience, Susan has been helping students connect with their higher mind through intuitive counseling sessions, PAT seminars, and healing workshops. Her teachings have helped her workshop attendees to reinforce their belief in self and their connection to a higher source. And you can find more about Susan at our website, susansumo.com. And without further ado, we welcome on Susan. Hello, Susan. You there?
Hi, Mike. I'm here. Can you hear
hey,
me?
Hey, yay. Yes, I can hear you. The internet works, so we're doing great.
All right.
Well, welcome back to the show. It's always a blessing to have you come on with us.
Thank you.
So,
it's always a treat for me to hear.
Yeah, it's nice. And I know people like the break in the momentum of just me talking, so it's nice to have another voice to complement the creative process here. So forgiveness, it's one of these when I was broadcasting it out to the world, I always label it as it's this elusive thing. And I think there are ideas about what forgiveness is, but what is your perspective on forgiveness, and why is this such an important topic?
Oh, good question. I think the most important thing about forgiveness is the letting go piece. And I think that's where people have the most difficulty with forgiveness, is if you're not doing it, and if you're not comfortable with it, and it's not a habit, then you're locked into holding on. And it becomes a body memory almost. And so it's like looking at your hand holding a rock and saying, let go, drop the rock, drop the rock. But you don't know how to open your fingers.
Right.
So a lot of people, we talk about it and we think about it and we want to do it, but we just don't know how to do it effectively. And we also think that forgiving negates the fact that whatever happened ever happened.
Right.
So we know that's not true, but people get caught up in, you know, if I forgive them, it means that what they did wasn't wrong, or that, you know, they got away with it, or that makes everything okay for them. And that's not really true. You know, everyone has to live with their own karma. And whether or not you forgive someone does not eradicate their karma at all.
Right.
There's still that balancing that has to take place. So I think it's a combination of not knowing how to do it and not being willing to do it for those kind of reasons, which is, of course, a big mistake for everyone. So that's my definition of forgiveness, is that letting go process. It's so needed right now, just like you said, because you see people holding on to things, and people who are holding on to anger and holding on to slights, they're the ones who are out there, you know, road raging and, you know, and doing all those kinds of things. I was talking to someone just a few minutes ago who said, you know, down in Atlanta, someone shot somebody in a line because they were taking up too much time and the line wasn't moving fast enough.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
So, yeah. So holding on to anger is poisonous. Poisonous. And really, you know, what good does it do?
Right. It's very true. There was a line from this poem that comes to mind, this really great poet talks about forgiveness in this poem. And the line that he says is, forgiveness is letting go of all hope for a better past. And that kind of, it struck me because I think that oftentimes some of the stuff we are holding on to is stuff that has happened to us. And then we kind of either bury it, suppress it, or decide not to do any work around forgiveness because we just may not know how. And then it just kind of festers and just kind of sits there. But it always just keeps coming back up and around. And now I think because we have so many ways of expressing ourselves, it's like there are no filters, but there's not a lot of positive dialogue coming into these conversations, you know, now with social media and all the stuff that we're seeing, and even seeing some of these bigger tragedies like what you just mentioned, may bring up and trigger things within us that could be elements of our own past that we're still holding on to. So do you feel that when we're talking about forgiveness, that it's something that I'm doing for myself, or is it something I'm doing for someone else? Because I think sometimes the thought is that by forgiving, it's something I'm doing for them, but I'm not also involved in this process. So do you feel forgiveness is for the individual who is doing the forgiving, or is it for the object or recipient of the forgiveness?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, we know that we're all one, and it's a dynamic relationship. So when you're in a state of anger with a person or a situation, you're tied to them. That's the other end of your tug of war rope. So if you put the rope down, you create the opportunity for the other person to put theirs down too, or for the situation to resolve itself. I don't think you can separate them. I will say that I don't think that you can heal yourself without also forgiving yourself, because most of the time we make allowances for the other person, but we stay angry at ourselves forever. I should have known better, shouldn't have been so stupid, what's the matter with me, you know, that kind of thing. So I think the anger turned on self is the piece that has to be done, but forgiving the other person or the situation also has to be done. I don't see how they could be disconnected from one another.
Right. I see it oftentimes in readings where, you know, I'll see an individual and, you know, we're talking about, say, like relationships is a really good example because it's the place where we tend to, like, have most of these issues surrounding forgiveness. And, you know, they'll say something like, you know, why forgiven this person for what they've done? And what I often see intuitively is this person is still holding the damage that is inward. You know, it's their own sense of, like, say if someone cheated on them, and they may have forgiven the person for cheating on them, but there's always that thread within us that says, what was it about me that allowed this to happen or caused this to happen? So I think sometimes it's harder for us to go into that space of doing the personal forgiveness. Because I think everything's just become so externalized. And it's hard for people to turn inwards, because once we turn inwards, we can't ignore what's beneath the surface, which is a pretty frightening place to be, I think.
Well, I think so. I think forgiveness takes a certain amount of courage, because you have to stop lying to yourself. You know, you have to stop pretending that there weren't two people involved, and that, you know, that you were totally, you know, absolved of any complicity in it, or that, you know, there's a certain amount of courage that's required for you to look at yourself and say, yes, I didn't trust myself, I made a poor decision, or, you know, yes, I rationalized, or yes, I allowed this to happen, or yes, I participated in this. You know, or any of that takes a lot of courage. And it's a lot easier to keep blaming someone else or something else instead. And I know that we've all been there, because who doesn't want to take the easy way?
Right. Right. And I just found this really great quote from Desmond Tutu, and it says, forgiving is not forgetting. It's actually remembering. Remembering and not using your right to hit back. It's a second chance for a new beginning. And the remembering part is particularly important, especially if you don't want to repeat what happened. And I think that forgiveness, when we choose not to step into that space of bringing awareness to the issue that's there, there's this assumption that if I don't bring awareness to it, that I won't have to repeat it. But it's almost as if, though, if we don't shine the spotlight in that space, we'll constantly repeat that lesson until we do some of that letting go and releasing.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you know, if you've got an open wound on your leg, not looking at it is not going to heal it.
Right.
Not going to heal. you know, eventually it's going to get so bad you're going to have to look at it. You know, you'll have to deal with it. And I think you know, to take that a step farther, an open wound on the leg could be from a past hurt or past anger, because that's what happens with that emotion. It festers. It covers a fever. It festers, and we know it's going to show up somewhere in the body, you know.
Right.
And if you're holding on to it long enough, it's going to get chronic, you know.
Right.
And then you're going to have to deal with it for a long period of time. So there's really nothing good about it other than that self-satisfying, well, I get to be right feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's a question that one of my teachers asked me back in the early 90s was, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Mm.
And, you know, people who say, well, I want both, they don't want to give it up. You see?
Right.
You know, because it's not about right or wrong. It's about choosing happiness over the satisfaction of saying, well, I was right. You know, they were wrong to do that. I was right. I was wrong. You know, it's like, great, that's great. But, you know, in 30 years, they probably have forgotten and you haven't. Now, does that mean they don't have their karmic balancing? Absolutely not. It just means that you're carrying this junk around all this time. And you and I both know from having clairvoyant sight that it's not pretty to look at.
Right. Right.
You know, baggage, and it's not good. It's not healthy. It drains the energy. It drags you down. And, you know, everyone who wants to hang out in love and light, and everyone who wants to ascend, and everyone who wants to hit the fourth and fifth dimension, you can't get there when you're angry. You can't get there when you're mad. You can't get there when you're unforgiving. And you can't get there when your body's a shamble, because it's left to deal with all of your negative emotions that you don't want to let go of because you're satisfied with being right.
Right.
You know, so that does take a lot of courage. It's not hard to do. It's sometimes it's hard to want to do it or to desire to do it, but it's not hard to do.
Right. Right. What do you think is the fear around letting go? I think, you know, it's just like when I'm in sessions with someone, I'm saying, okay, so now it's time to do some release work around this. And automatically there's this fear that comes up about letting something go. And why do you think that is with a lot of people? Why do you think they want to hold on to these things?
Well, I think it's different for each person, but you know, the people that I've worked with, most of them are afraid that it'll happen again.
Right.
You know, like if I don't hold on to this, it'll happen again. Or you know, if I forgive that person, it means I have to be a doormat, or mm-hmm. I have to let people treat me a certain way. There are things that are hooked to it that really have no business being hooked to it at all. You know, I remember years ago, Connie said, you know, people think that a spiritual person is a weak. That's a mistake. Spiritual people are not weak. And being spiritual and forgiving doesn't make you weak and doesn't give other people permission to harm you or to invade your boundaries. I think it's quite the opposite, because when you release the fear, you're loving yourself. And when the love comes in, there's really no room for that other nonsense. But my experience with my clients and my students is that they're afraid to let their guard down. You know, it's
right.
Almost like a sentence.
Hmm. Yeah, it's almost like we get wedded to our victimization and our victimhood. And I've seen that and I've experienced that where it's, you know, when you're in that place, it's easier to hold on to the hurt and the blame and the shame versus stepping into vulnerability, which allows us to then bear witness to those parts of ourselves that we may just be resisting. And all that stuff just breeds such contempt. And I've seen it in people who hold such anger towards this other person who's probably not even thinking about them. And this anger is causing such stress in the body, mental stress, headaches, and then the physical stress. And it's like it's almost like we're drinking the poison trying to kill this other person. I'll show them. I'm going to be really angry.
Well, that'll show of them. It's, you know, ridiculous. You give them so much power over your life at that point. You know, they have the power to destroy your life.
Right.
You know, that's foolish, because then you know, the only way that your life is ever going to get better is in their hands, you know, because they have to say something and they have to do something and they have to make amends and they have to apologize. And it's like, wow, you know, you almost make them into a god when you do that.
Right. Right. So you know, oftentimes, you know, when we're talking about forgiveness, the obvious thing that some people bring up is the question, are there things that are unforgivable? So I'll ask you that question.
Well, I will answer that question this way. Mm-hmm. As someone who has had some experiences and lived for a while, I would say that you would be amazed at what you can forgive. Be amazed at what you can understand about another person or about a situation. And you would be amazed at what we are capable of forgiving. And if you don't think it's possible, then I would challenge you to get online and read stories about both old and new stories about people who have forgiven others who've done atrocious things to them. And I don't mean like he cheated on me things, you know.
Right.
I'm talking about Holocaust survivors and and soldiers, you know, the German soldiers. I'm talking about, you know, people who've forgiven murderers, people who've forgiven rapists, people who have forgiven, you know, Israelis and Arabs and bombers and all that kind of thing. We're talking about, you know, when you look at people like that, and then you look at yourself and you say, wow, I'm still mad at so-and-so because of that comment. She slighted me. Or, you know, you get to see how petty it is. So I would say that infinite love can forgive infinitely, and that we should strive to be as infinite as possible.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. There's a really great book called The Sunflower by Simon Wiesenthal. And in the book, he's a Holocaust survivor. But in the concentration camp, he was brought forward to this dying Nazi soldier, and the soldier asked him for forgiveness. And the whole book is surrounding that interaction, because he didn't give forgiveness because he didn't feel it was his place to forgive this person for all the atrocities. But it sparked this really interesting question, you know, what our responsibility is when it comes to forgiveness, and, you know, the ability for us to the interaction that happens between two individuals in that space of forgiveness, especially when you are in shared space with someone. And I think it's different, you know, because a lot of times we may be forgiving things from our past, and it's different when we're doing this through like a meditative or an intuitive process. But to see that process play out in such a visceral way between two people in the shared space was an interesting thing, because he poses the question to everybody else, what would you do in this situation? And he has all these people who responded in the book, from the Dalai Lama to just, you know, regular folks. And it's interesting to see the range of responses, because it is such a charged thing. And I think now we're seeing so much stuff, like we're being bombarded by so much stuff, it's hard to get into that process of discerning, like, what needs forgiving, but then again, what is forgiveness, you know, and what's my responsibility to the world and taking this on as a process?
Well, I think the responsibility to the world is to create a world that's less angry. And you look at conflict we have, and you look at, you know, the wars we're involved in, and you know, it's just an outgrowth of the anger that we're all carrying.
Right.
So reducing anger in the self reduces anger in the world. And
right.
and you know, we you and I know that that energetic does go out, and it does change the environment around us, which in turn changes the people who come into that environment. It's very important for the world to do it. I think it's very important for us, because we're in a time now where, you know, things happen quickly. So when you
right.
get angry, you know, and you say something, and the next thing you know, you burn in your hand. It happens quickly now, you know, that things play out. And then we're also in a time where everything that was hidden is coming to the front.
Right.
So, you know, there no longer can you have that beautiful facade and be an angry person inside. That anger bubbles up and it comes out, and everyone can see it. So it behooves us to have the inside mask. But I think it's
right.
also important for us to recognize that when you see somebody have that kind of an outburst, to not pretend that it's happening. You know, to look at that person and go, "Wow, you know, you're really, really angry. You know, let's talk about it. I can help you with this." You know, the technique that I'm going to share with you tonight. You know, we were told that, you know, once you have mastered it, you know, you can share it with others. You know, and so. People need it. I mean, people just need, you know, nobody wants to carry this stuff anymore. It's poisonous.
It really is. And I think it's just making everything else so toxic. And if you look at war as a good example, and some of these wars that have been going on for, you know, centuries, it's just not letting go of the need to be right or the need to be in power. And it's almost like you can see there's space for it, but it would require everyone to just breathe out for a minute. It's almost like there's a fear of what vulnerability could potentially do. And it's just this, you know, it is much needed. And I think, you know, it's going to be great to have a technique that'll step us one bit closer to doing some of that work around forgiveness. So I'll turn it over to you now, and I'll let you kind of take it from here and however you want to step us into the space.
Absolutely. And before I do, while you were talking, I was thinking of the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you think about most conflict, it's, well, they did this to me and, you know, that kind of thing. So I think we need to move forward from that. And so what I want to do is I want to share this process. I'm glad that you're recording, because when people go and listen to this and go back to listen to it, they can do it again and again, and they can work with it. And this will be very, very good for them. So the first thing I'm going to do is say, get a piece of paper. You're going to want just a small piece of paper. And then a piece of note paper or a notebook paper to write some questions and answers down. So two pieces of paper, something to write with. And I'm going to say that you do not have to be an active intuitive for this to work, but you are going to be talking to your intuition, and it's going to be a very easy process. So this is called a forgiveness and chronic pain release. And the great thing about this is that chronic pain is connected to anger, which masks fear, and self-forgiveness or forgiveness will help release that. So we've had people, and I'll talk about my own later, we've had people who've done this and had instant change. And then we've had people who've done it, you know, had to go back and do it once or twice in order to put it to rest. But it works quickly and phenomenally. So I'm going to start us off by just saying take a deep breath. And for us, take a deep breath means inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. And the first step is to just identify the pain and its location in your body. So if you have a chronic pain, just identify it. Identify, if you don't, what angers you, what really angers you, who really angers you. And this is the courageous part, because you need to be honest. If you're not honest, it won't work. Pain is created by anger and emotions that are held within. So the first step is to identify that pain, or anger, or person, and ask yourself if you're ready to release the emotion or the anger. Take a deep breath, slowly exhale, and ask yourself, am I ready to release the emotion or anger? Am I ready to release the emotion or anger? Now for the next step, we're going to take a sharp, deep breath and exhale with four quick puffs of breath. So together we're going to inhale. Four quick puffs of breath. Take a second, sharp, deep breath and exhale with four quick puffs of breath. And take a third, sharp, deep breath, and exhale with four quick breaths. Now, place your hands in the center of your solar plexus and say, I release the anger, fear, doubt. And then fill in the blank. Now become calm and centered on your solar plexus. Open your eyes and write the name of the anger or the fear on the small piece of paper. Just one. We're only going to do one at a time. Then ball it up into a tiny ball. Bless it with light and toss it in the trash. Write the name of that anger or fear on a small piece of paper. Ball it into a tiny ball. Bless it with light and toss it in the trash. We don't burn it, because we don't want to send that energy out into the environment. Now you can recognize that you've thrown away the cause of the pain. Don't return to being angry or fearful about that thing, that situation, or that person. If you do, it means that you have mentally, etherically removed the ball of paper and the anger or fear from the trash. So you don't want to put your hand back in there and pull it. So you may have to repeat this sometimes later if you still have the pain. But this way is the way for you to control what's happening to you through your thoughts, through the mind. So it's through the control of the mind that creates physical changes quickly. You don't want to have your mind out of control. You don't want to be irrational. You say, so you let the voice of your soul or your intuition be your guide. But you have to be willing to do it first. Okay, so that's the first half of the process. Okay, so I can tell you that that when I did this, I started to have a TMJ on the right side of my jaw from holding stress, and I was starting to get pain, and I was starting to have the clicking, and I wasn't able to eat. without the bone clicking, and it was just horrible. Did this process, and it cleared instantly. But now, when I recall that person or that situation to my mind, I have to mentally take my hand out of the trash can and remind myself that I'm not going to go back there and pick it back up.
Hmm.
You see? So it's a good visual for the mind, and we know that the mind loves visuals. Ready for the second part?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to say do both parts. Do not skip this part. This is important. All right. This is where you're going to want to get that notebook or that piece of paper and pen ready. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to write down the answers to these questions. So we're going to take three breaths with me, and then we'll go ahead and go through the process. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So the first question is, who should I forgive? Breathe three times with me. Inhale and exhale. Inhale and exhale through the mouth. Third breath. Inhale and exhale. Now don't think. Just write the name. Who should I forgive? Just jot it down quickly. Don't be surprised if it's your own name. Question number two. How do I forgive them? Take a deep breath and exhale. Take a second breath and exhale. And take a third breath. Exhale. Now write down the first answer given. How do I forgive them? Don't think. Just write it down. Question number three. How can I love others? Take a deep breath. Inhale. And exhale. Take a deep breath in. And exhale. Take a third breath. Inhale. And exhale. The first answer given. How can I love others? Don't think. Just jot it down. Question four. What do I need to do to facilitate personal healing? Go ahead and inhale. And exhale. Inhale. And exhale. Inhale. And exhale. Write down the first answer given. Don't think or add to it. What do I need to do to facilitate personal healing? Just write down the first answer given. And the last question, number five, do I need to do to advance my soul most? Take a deep breath and exhale. Take a deep breath. And exhale. And exhale. What do I need to do to advance my soul most? The first answer, don't think. Do this, and if you do it again, you're going to notice that you'll probably get different answers, even if it's for the same situation. They're not always the same answers. When you're receiving information from the soul, it's not going to be a paragraph. It's going to be one or two words, a couple words, just a short, direct, simple sentence. So not verbose, not a lot of chatter. Okay. But that's okay. These two pieces done together will change you. They will change yourself. They will change your thoughts. They will change everyone who uses it. Some will release physical pain. Some will release emotions connected to physical pain with it at the same time. Some will release their need for revenge or for escape or for self-punishment or guilt. Worry, anxiety, all of these things become fear, and then we get that anger.
Right.
See? So, how does that feel?
Feels wonderful. That was really great. That was really powerful.
That was given to us by Connie Newton, and of course, which she's given us permission to share. Mm. And she said, please master it before you teach it to others. Don't just run around teaching it,
right.
But do it. Do it. And I've just gotten great responses from people I've shared it with. Changing relationships, changing their bodies. So I'll ask you, Mike, what was your experience?
It was good. I was surprised at some of the answers that I got to some of the questions there. It was pretty eye-opening. Especially like some of the later questions, like, you know, what to do to advance my soul and to move into deeper connection with myself. I was like, the answers made a lot of sense, though. So it was like, okay. You know, so I think it's nice because I think not oftentimes do we ask pointed questions to our intuition in regards to the healing. It's almost like we do this bypassing. I'm just going to like offer the healing energy just to my heart. And, you know, I think that's good, but I think too, it's nice to have a way to get the shovel in there and dig a little bit to get some response and some action steps. And I like that this process is an action oriented kind of process. It's not just put your hands on your heart and see those things as butterflies floating away, which may work for some people, but I think it's nice to have like a deeper conversation with your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and if you follow through on the things that you were given, it makes a phenomenal difference.
Mm.
You know, makes a phenomenal difference. They're simple instructions. For me, they are. The answers were simple instructions, but they do require action. You're absolutely right.
Right. That's the hard part.
It can be.
Yeah.
You know, it can be, but it's so worth it. I mean, it's just so worth it. The shift in energy is, you know, there from the beginning. Mm. So it's good, you know, it's good to remember when you get it connected to something physical and you see that change right away, that's wonderful. When you feel that sensation, whatever it is, that pain starts to creep back in, then you know that something's coming up. You've got to go back and work on it again.
Right. Right. Yeah, I did feel like it was almost like you can feel like a weight coming off as you're going through the process. And it's nice to, I mean, you have that kind of, you know, tactile confirmation that you can breathe a little bit deeper, you can feel a little shift happening. And I think sometimes it's just shining the spotlight on this part of our lives that we too often neglect. It's like we have like this beautiful home, but in our backyard, it's just all this like stockpile of trash. And
well, and I'm going to recommend that y'all, you know, everyone, and do it regularly, because,
right,
you know, this is great for if you have a major, you know, that big thing. But, you know, there are times where I'll be sitting at work talking to someone, and you know, it can be just a very simple, you know, oh, that person just aggravated me. And then I think, oh, now I have to go do a forgiveness for them.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't have to be something major. It can
right.
be, you know, it can be the person that cut you off in traffic, or it can be, you know, a situation at work. I'll tell you that I have I have people at work that I deal with all the time. And so after I learned this, I said, well, you know, all right, let me go do this for this person that you know, has done me wrong, blah, 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 blah. And justifiably so, you know, just not one of my favorite people. And I thought, you know, you've been carrying this around for a long time. You know, even though it's something major, you know, it's not like I hate this person. I mean, you know, I just don't like the way they do things.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's kind of silly. Why am I carrying that around? Why am I carrying that anger around about that person? So I went home and I did the process, and the next day I'm like, I couldn't even remember what it was that bothered me. It was so far out of my consciousness that I'm like, yeah, we're great. Now when I see that person, it's like, hi, how are you doing? I can smile. There's no negative thought that comes across my mind about that person. And I was surprised at that. I thought I'd have to do, you know, three or four of these. You know?
Right.
But there's so many times during the day. I mean, we're human. There are times during the day where, you know, I'll get an email from someone and I'll look at it and I'll go, well, now what did they have to say that for? You know, that was totally uncalled for. And you know, I just, why are we going through this passive-aggressive stuff? And, you know what? And then I'm like, oh, I have to go through a forgiveness.
Wow. Yeah, I think, especially I think this time of the year, because families are either coming back together, or this time it just brings up old dramas for people. So I think it's nice to have a tool that we can actively use in that space of either internal or external confrontation.
I agree. I mean, think about how many people who are going to be unhappy about having to work on Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, didn't get the bonus they wanted, or they have relatives coming that they're not crazy about, or, you know, they're stressed out because, you know, last year we went to so-and-so's house and we had to go, and now we have to go. You know, there's so many things around this time of the year that you could just pile a bushel full of stuff on top of yourself unnecessarily, and then you have to drag it into the new year. And who wants
right.
to do that?
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate that we do that. Like, we take this, instead of decluttering our spaces, we add more clutter. And then usually those affirmations and things we make for the new year are attached to all this old junk. It's like, instead of like making new space for new energy, it's like we're just reaffirming the old stuff.
Yes.
Such a great time, I think, too, because there is so much strife in the world, that I think if anyone out there who's listening begins the process of doing self-healing, that will just begin to reverberate into their spaces. But hopefully it'll, like a little match, and it'll just set everything on fire. which would be a good thing.
Well, that's exactly right, because little fires grow into, you know, we know what they grow into.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to do that. And this is fast. I mean, we're not talking about therapy. We're not talking about, you know, a 20-minute, an hour, you know, at the drawing board. We're talking about 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
right.
that's pretty quick to wipe out all that anger. That's really quick. And you know, I love quick stuff.
Yeah. It's nice to have it be quick, too, because sometimes when we talk about forgiveness or one of these big conceptual things in spirituality, there's this idea that it's going to be a long, belaboring process, and we're going to have to change the process. So there's fear stacked on top of fear, and it's nice that it's quick. And I think for me, the second half was pretty telling, because there's the questions that, you know, I may have been avoiding asking my own intuition, because to ask who the object of my forgiveness should be is a pretty powerful question to ask, and it's one we often avoid because it will bring us right back into that, as Desmond Tutu said, remembering.
Yes, it's very true. That's why you have to do the second half.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you do the first piece and that pulls off the top layer. But then if you want to go in and clean it out, you do the second part, because a lot of times who you forgive is very different than who you thought it was going to be.
Right.
You know, and so you don't want to do one without the other, because you're cheating yourself. If you do it superficially, you'll have a superficial result.
Right.
You say, but if you, and I can attest to this from my own experience, if you will do it on a regular basis, you know, I mean, and believe me, I'm sure at the end of every day you can think of somebody or some situation that has caused you anger or an emotion, you know, a negative emotion. If you do it every day or do it regularly, you see really big changes, really big changes. And this is how you do it. It's not a mental exercise. It's not saying to your hand, drop that rock. It's hurting you to hold on to it. Drop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the process that teaches your fingers how to uncurl and
right.
release it. And that's what I love about it. You know, and it doesn't have to be. You're not writing a story. You're not writing a paragraph. You're not telling your tale. Short, quick answers. And I can't tell you how effective it is. You know, you'll see when you start getting your listeners start telling you, the people that you share this with start telling you, you're going to see. I love hearing the people that I've shared it with. You know, when I see them, they're all smiling. They're like,
right.
This stuff is great. You know, and you know, as a teacher, you always want to give people tools that are going to work.
Right. Right, which is why it's so important for us to use them on ourselves.
You know it.
Yeah, which is, you know, I think it is nice, and I do appreciate that you're able to share that with us, because I do think that is one of those, you know, it's just one of those mysterious topics that people want to talk about, and when they do talk about it, there's always that point where we get to the conversation of, well, how do I do this work? Because I think it's important to have processes, and too often the processes are either, you know, super dogmatic, or, you know, they're tied into some other belief system, and it's hard for us to do something. And I think having this process be something that anyone can access without having to have any other structure aside from their own body and their own connection to their intuition, is nice. It's refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to have my beliefs. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to agree to my religion. You don't have to, you know, there's no dogma, which I love. And there's not a lot of steps, because for me, I've always found that it's always too diffuse, you know, just let it go. Or there's so many steps involved and it's so convoluted that I'm like, okay, I don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like quick and simple and effective in everything. And this, what I like about it is that it's universal. And so I was, you know, I was just thrilled when we were told that we could share it with people because, my God, who isn't going to need this in the next few months?
Right. Because the holidays are quickly approaching. It's like we just went, we blasted right through, you know, Halloween, and now we're right into almost Thanksgiving. It's almost here, and then right behind that, we're right into Christmas. It's like time is speeding up. So the sooner we can do this stuff, the better.
Yeah, it is. And we know the law of attraction. So the more anger and the more fear you're carrying around, the more you're broadcasting for anger and fear events and people to come into your life. So this is a way to change that, to shift that, even if it's on an unconscious level. You know, when you reduce your output, what comes to you gets reduced as well. You replace it with something else.
Right.
Yeah, but there's hope. There's hope for peace at the holidays.
Yeah, it's funny because we, you know, in spiritual circles, we often talk about oneness or unconditional love. And without forgiveness, I don't think we can really step into those directions because it's everyone. I love everyone except for that guy or that person from my past or that part of myself. And it seems like it's just such a vital part. So I'm glad that we're able to have this discussion around forgiveness tonight. It's just always a blessing to get to talk to you, but also to be able to share in putting out some pretty powerful stuff for people to actually take on as a practice.
Well, I want to, before we go, I want to tell people that if you haven't read the book or seen the movie, it's on Netflix right now, Five People You Meet in Heaven by Mitch Albom.
Yes.
Have you read it?
Oh, I saw the movie. It's amazing.
Right. But the movie was as good, if not better, than the book. And I never say that, never, because I'm a book person. But it is about forgiveness.
Right.
And it's phenomenal, phenomenal. And I had to laugh because I saw it the other day, knowing we were going to do this tonight. And I saw it come up on my feed. And I went, well, look at that. Isn't that appropriate?
Yes. Yes, it's funny because like Netflix for so, like all of a sudden like all these really great movies like you know the Yogananda movie just launched onto Netflix, like all these really good spiritually uplifting and centering and affirming movies are on Netflix now, so get them while you can.
Well, I thought it was, you know, I read the book some years ago and I forgot. That it was a movie, a book about forgiveness, but it's so subtle, and it really illustrates a lot of what we've talked about tonight, or we've really illustrated a lot of what the movie talks about, however you want to look at it. But it just goes to show you that you know you cannot evolve, you cannot ascend, you cannot get into the light until you let go of the anger and the fear. It's going to hold you back, and there's infinite support and infinite love in the universe to help you do it, but you have to do it. You got to do it.
Absolutely. So before we go, too, because you're just really great at this, any tips for folks as they go into the new year to maintain a sense of balance? You know, because this is going to be such a trying time for so many, do you have any, like, quick suggestions for people to kind of maintain calm in the storms?
You know, I'm going to go back to someone that I worked for many years ago at a frame shop. He was wonderful around the holidays because people would get crazy. And his advice was put it in perspective on it. You know, is it really that important? I mean, you know, we would have people freak out over something not arriving or something not being perfect. And he would literally come out and say, is anybody dying? Did anybody die? Okay, if nobody died, it's not that important. This is nothing compared to that. Put it in perspective. And priorities. What's your priority? And if you can hold on to what's really important, and it's one of the reasons that I like some of the hokey Christmas movies and some of the holiday specials, because, yes, they're cheesy and sentimental, but sometimes they help you remember what's really important and not what's really unimportant, which is what you see in the commercials and the advertising and the media and, you know, on everything, the magazines you get. And this time of the year, I get a million catalogs, you know, and it's like, what's really important? Is it really important that the dinner's perfect? Is it really important that somebody behave a certain way? Is it really important that someone shows up? What's really important? You know, if you can keep your perspective, I think you can keep your balance. And that mm-hmm. means you have to be able to laugh at yourself, and you have to have forgiveness. You have to let it go. You know,
right.
Let it go. You want the thing that's keeping you from evolving, from getting into heaven, from whatever framework you want to put it in. Do you want the thing to prevent you from doing that? The fact that you can't get over Christmas dinner from 1995?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, let it go. You know, just keep it up, because, you know, what good is that going to do you? You know, it's like, I mean, I don't want to have my soul look at me and go, listen, you know, we'd really like to take you with us, but you still mad at Mary from, you know, from third grade because she didn't give you the present you wanted.
Right.
You
right.
know, it's like, is it really that important? You know, I think that's the only thing that I would tell people would be my best thing is breathe, laugh, and remember what your priorities are.
Right.
What's really important, you know? People who yeah. love you know that you love them. That's it. You send them, you can
yeah.
give them a note. I still have, from the first year that I have a beautiful, beautiful prayer that you wrote for me that I still open up and read. And I have a beautiful stone that you gave me that you painted. And I have that you gave me with that. And I still have that. And it's still displayed, and it still brings tears to my eyes every time I read it.
Aw. Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It's true.
Really cool.
So what's the priority? Is
right.
the priority that, you know, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. I often ask my own intuition, and it always replies with, you know, you don't have infinite time here. And do you really want to waste those few breaths, you know, on the anger, when you can just step closer to just resolve, you know? And it's just so much easier to, like, fix it now. Because a lot of times when you do sessions for folks who, you know, their loved one has passed and they never got that resolve, they never got to have that conversation. And we don't know when that last breath is going to happen for us. So, you know, and I don't want, you know, my life review to just be, you know, getting angry at Facebook posts and... and being angry at all the people around me, because, you know, when you go through your life review, I just don't want to see all these, like, Facebook scrolls and, you know, angry posting. And, you know, I think there's just so much other stuff we could also spend our time doing, like loving and caring and being of service. And so I think, yeah, I think perspective is important. You know, so, yeah, so listening out there, you know, get perspective and do the forgiveness work. And it's going to New Year with that. Let that be your resolve for the New Year.
Well, I think that's a good resolve. You know, what is your spiritual responsibility? Is to not leave filled with anger and negativity.
Right.
You know, so when you're having an encounter with someone, you have to ask yourself, what do I want to leave this person with? Do I want to leave them uplifted, or do I want to leave them feeling bad?
Right.
You know.
Wow.
So we've got control over that. It doesn't mean you have to be a doormat. You still get to say no, but it's how you say it, and and how you deliver it and what your intent is that sets the energy in the space that you leave.
Right. Right. Wonderful. So what do you have anything coming up between now and the end of the year that you want to share with everyone, and where can people find you and get in touch with you?
Well, I have we're actually doing a PAT class in a couple of weeks locally here in New Mexico, and I'll be doing classes after the first of the year. So I would suggest that people who want to get a hold of me can go to my website, which is SusanZummo.com, and that's SusanZummo.com, or they can go to email me at SusanZummo@gmail, or they can reach me through you. And I've got some Soma Pi classes coming up. I'm going to be doing a New Year's manifesting meditation on January 10th. And, you know, just some really neat things coming up to help people in the new year. The busy year, and people really going to need all of the help that they can get and all of the upliftment and tools that they can get. So I know you're going to be busy too.
Yes.
In the new year, you know, that's what we train for. So, you know, I would say, you know, get a hold of me through Mike, reach me at my website, mm-hmm. do the processes, you know, the things that you talk about on the show, the things that people share on the show, use the tools that you have, work them, you know, if you work them, they'll work. That's just how it is.
Right. Absolutely. And it's just always just a blessing and a gift to have you join us. And I appreciate you taking time to come on and to talk about forgiveness and to share this process with us. And I look forward to having you on again soon. Hopefully, like when we get closer to the new year, so we can, you know, take a deep breath and jump in all together.
Well, honey, I love you. And I love the service that you're doing to your listeners and to everyone who contacts you. So I'm just going to send you lots of love, and thank you so much for letting me share this with your listeners. It's just really important.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Susan. And thank you, all of you who are listening, either now or in the future. Do the processes. Do them with love. Love yourselves unconditionally. And keep perspective. And just breathe. I love you, Susan. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody. Good night.